The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. It happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped and they looked downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" He replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who had announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see." And Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened, while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. This passage from St. Luke's Gospel is very familiar. It's one of the two ways that the resurrection of Jesus has been described. One way is through the empty tomb. The other way is through the appearances. And we see one of the first appearances today as the disciples are on the road to Emmaus. But why were they on that road? It's an interesting question to ask, considering all the things we found out about them. They had hoped that Jesus was going to be the Messiah. They saw him crucified. They saw him buried. And they heard that he had been raised. They even gone to the tomb and found the tomb empty. But why were they leaving Jerusalem then? If all those things had happened, why didn't they stay? You have to ask, because as we hear that they were walking, Luke says that they were conversing and debating with each other, so maybe they didn't think it was the best thing to leave. Maybe they were thinking, maybe we should stay a little longer and see what happens. If this Jesus has been raised, why should we waste our time? But the other one might be saying, "Well, okay, that's all fine and good, but you know, we have to make a living and we need to get back to our old life if what happened really isn't true." So that was the debate that was going on. And in the midst of all that debate, Jesus comes and walks with them. It's a very interesting thing because it teaches us something about God. And that is, God's always going to come looking for us if we wander away. And they were wandering away. They were going back to their own life. And God doesn't say, okay, fine. You know, it's been nice. He goes after them. And in going after them, he makes them recount everything that had happened to kind of bring it up in their mind, to get them back into reality, to help them realize what their hope already was. They said, we hoped he would be the Messiah, the one who'd redeem Israel. And they believe that that hope is no longer there. But now the Lord's going to say, you haven't seen even the beginning of this hope yet. The hope is beginning to be revealed. And he says, why are you so foolish? You heard the word. You read the prophets. And from Moses all the way through the Old Testament, he cited every passage that referred to the fact that the Messiah would suffer and would die. He would be the suffering servant. And yet it did not seem to be enough for these people. You know, we get that way ourselves sometimes. Words, words, words. We hear words all the time. And being an election year, we're being drowned with words. Promising you the sun, the moon, and the stars. Hopefully they'll give them to you. But you know, once they get elected, they're not going to worry about giving you anything. They're just going to worry about getting elected again. Now, some might say that's cynical. Some might say it's reality. I'll let you decide. This might be a little bit of both. We hear all these words. Where's the action? Where's the proof? Where's there something but just besides words being spoken? And this is where the Lord truly shows his genius with us as human beings. He recognizes we're not just a bunch of brains walking around. That we have sight, we have hearing, we have taste, we have touch. We have all these things. And the Lord is going to use all of those senses we have to bring us back, to bring us to him. And one of the ways we know that is that he gives us the gift of the sacraments. Not only is God going to give us his word, he's going to give us his sacraments. He's, as the catechism says, outward signs that Jesus Christ instituted to give us grace, to make God a part of our life, to shape us in the image of Jesus Christ. Word and sacrament, those are the bedrock of our Catholic faith. Both are necessary, and the reason both are necessary is very simple. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so not only is what God's going to say is going to have actions for us, consequences for us, what he does is going to have consequences for us. And so those disciples found something attractive about this man, even though they didn't know he was Jesus. And they say, really, I think one of the most beautiful prayers in the entire New Testament. Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. That's not just a statement to Jesus, that when we look at that, that is truly a prayer. And the Lord stayed with them and shared that meal with them. And in that very simple act of him breaking that bread, they recognized who he was. And of course, then the Lord disappears because there's no reason for him to be here now, because he's carried out what he needed to carry out, which is to show them he is alive, so they'll get their act together and head back to Jerusalem. And that's exactly what they did. You figure they probably ran back to Jerusalem now. How foolish we were. Now we know that this hope that we have is not dead. This hope that we have is real. It is true. And it is going to find its fulfillment in Christ and one day in us. And that fulfillment is that we are going to be united with the Lord. Imperfectly in this life through the sacraments and in the church, and perfectly with him in heaven. And that's where it's going to be. That's why the church tells us that Christ comes to us in word and in sacrament. And of all the sacraments, the most important one is, of course, the Holy Eucharist, the sacrament of his body and blood. It shows how deep God cares for us. Because he's not just giving us words, he's saying, here is my word, and if that's not enough, take my body and blood as this new covenant to say that what I have started in you, I'm going to finish. I've offered you faith and everlasting life. I've died for you on the cross that you may now be restored to God's grace and to have now the dignity of being the children of God. That hope has been realized in the sacrament of baptism. That's a real hope that we have a taste of, that now we know the Lord's going to keep working on to make it more and more complete in us through the other sacraments of the church, especially the sacrament of penance, when we too find ourselves in doubts and in sins and need to be reconciled. But we also see it most clearly in this sacrament that the disciples in the early church called the rite of the breaking of the bread, what we now call the Mass. There Christ is present, truly, substantially present under those humble images of bread and wine. And as that has been given, we need now to take the prayer that those disciples said to Jesus and say that prayer ourselves. Stay with us, Lord, for evening is coming and the day is far spent. We can take that on many, many levels. We can take it this way. Lord, darkness is coming. A hard time is on my way. I have this problem. I have this burden coming. And that burden brings darkness, and darkness brings confusion. And confusion breeds despair and worries and tears and all of that. And we don't want to face it alone. So we say, stay with us, Lord, in this dark period of my illness or of my family problems or of my job problems. Stay with me, Lord, because in the darkness, you will be my light. Because evening is coming. We know that. But we can even take it to the next step, to the step of looking at all of life and salvation history. We await Jesus' return, the final coming, the second coming of Christ. And because the Lord has already ascended and we await that, we know in a way the sun is setting before the new sun of the new heavens and the new earth comes up. And during this time of waiting for his coming, we still say to him, stay with us, Lord. And he does stay with us. He stays with us through his body and blood. He stays with us through his church. He stays with us through his word and through his priests and through all of us here who are baptized. He stays with us so that when we are together, the darkness won't be so dark, because the light of Christ on that Paschal candle won't stop burning, because the Lord has been raised from the dead. We know that he will not leave us now, that he will stay with us, and he will stay with us to love us. He will stay with us to make us holy. He'll stay with us to strengthen us and give us hope. When things seem out of control, he is there for us, and he stays with us this day, and we will receive him in a few minutes, because the Lord has stayed with us, and he knows that even if there is darkness coming, he will not abandon us, but he will love us, he will serve us, he will be faithful to us. And the sign that all that's going to happen is his body and blood, which he shed for us, that it may become part of our life, and that receiving his body and blood, we may become united to him in a close, in an intimate, personal way. So let us thank the Lord that he has come to us in both word and sacrament. Let us thank the Lord that he has not abandoned us. But let us pray every day those simple words. Stay with us, Lord. Do not abandon us. Be our constant companion, and we will not abandon you.